Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of the Coptic month Tut. And this Coptic month is the first month of the Coptic year. And for every month, there is a theme. And since this is the first month of the Coptic year, the theme of it is love of God the Father. The Church wants to explain to us the love of God the Father toward us. So in the first Sunday, the Gospel was about the counsel of God the Father toward us. And His counsel is for us to repent and to return back to Him and to be saved. This is actually the desire of God, that everybody will be saved. Repent, return to Him, and will be saved. But some people rejected the counsel of God toward them. This was the Gospel of the first Sunday, like the Pharisees, like all the religious leaders of Israel. But others accepted the counsel of God toward them. They repented, they went to John the Baptist, they were baptized like the tax collectors and the adulterers. So in the first Sunday, the Church revealed to us that God loves us. And because He loves us, He wants to save every single person. This is the counsel of God. Are you willing to accept the counsel of God or not? Then in the second Sunday, the Church talked to us about this counsel is not revealed to everybody. Revealed only to the babes, to the humble, to those actually who are not arrogant, to those who are not prideful. If I am humble and I acknowledge my need for a Savior, then this counsel will be revealed to me. But if I am arrogant, proud, self-righteous, I will not be able to see the counsel of God. Like the sun is shining, those who are blind cannot see the sun, the light of the sun, although it is there. So the counsel of God is there for everybody. But those who are self-righteous will be blind, will not be able to see the counsel of God, and will not be able to see the love of God. And the Church actually gave us three examples through the third Sunday and the fourth Sunday. Third Sunday, an example of a tax collector, Zacchaeus, who was greedy, lover of money. But because of his humbleness, he wanted actually to know the counsel of God. He wanted to see Jesus. And because of his humbleness and his desire to know God, God revealed Himself to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was able to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord went to his house and actually offered salvation to all his household. And today in the fourth Sunday, we have two examples. One example of a person who rejected the counsel of God toward him, Simon the Pharisee. And the other one, the sinful woman who accepted the counsel of God toward her, and she is a wonderful example of repentance. And there is the Gospel of today answers the question, why some people cannot see the counsel of God? Why some people are blinded to know the counsel of God? In the story or the parable that the Lord said to Simon, He told him, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Who is this creditor? It is God. Because every sin we commit, actually we are indebted to God. Every sin we commit, we are indebted toward God. Some people, they feel that the self-righteous people feel, you know, I don't do anything wrong. So maybe my debt toward God is just 50 denarii. But some people know they are sinful, they are sinners, they are humble. So they feel the, oh God, 500 denarii. So Simon the Pharisee was an example of the people who are self-righteous, like the Pharisee who prayed and said, God, I fast 2 days, I give the tithe of my money, I do this, I do that, I'm righteous. So even if there is a debt, this debt is just 50 denarii, it's not something big. And the other person who really knows that he's a sinner, he's a sinful person, like the tax collector, actually he felt unworthy to lift his eyes up to heaven, and he beat his chest and said, God have mercy upon me, a sinner, a sinner. Then this creditor actually forgave them both, because on the cross God forgave every person. The question here, are you going to accept this free forgiveness or not? Some people will not accept this free forgiveness. Like, if I put money to all of you, but some of you refused to take this money because of their arrogance, then actually they will continue to be poor. Not because there is no money for them, but because of their arrogance, they refuse to take this money. In the same way, God gave forgiveness to every single person. God forgave all sins to all the people in all ages on the cross. There is free forgiveness. If you come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ and obey his counsel toward you, you will be forgiven. Then the Lord asked Simon a very important question, and he told him, tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? If you are self-righteous, then you feel you don't need God in your life. You don't need his salvation. Without him, you can't be saved. You are deceived, but that is how the self-righteous feel. But a true sinner, when he feels that God forgave him completely and freely, then he will love God more. And Simon answered the correct answer, and he told him, I support the one whom he forgave more. And the Lord told him, you have rightly judged. Then the Lord made a comparison between Simon and the sinful woman. Sinful woman showed more love because she felt that her sins were many and God forgave her freely. So she loved more. And because of this more love, she made things that Simon did not do. But Simon, because of his self-righteousness, he didn't feel that he needs even a savior in his life. That's why his love toward God was little. As the Lord said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, but to whom who feels that little is forgiven, because of his self-righteousness, the same loves little. So the very important point in our salvation, to accept the counsel of God toward us, are you taking responsibility of your sins? Do you feel that your sins are a huge debt toward God? Or you feel righteous? Self-righteousness is a stumble to many people in their repentance and their salvation. So the first and most important point is to take responsibility. And that is the word confession mean. Confession means I confess that I am sinner. I confess that I have no excuse. I confess that my sins are many. I confess that I ate from the forbidden tree by my own will, and I have no excuse. When I come to God confessing and repenting with this attitude, I will come with much love, because I know that all these sins were forgiven freely. But if I came in confession self-righteous, not knowing what are my sins, not acknowledging the magnitude of my sins, then the response will be, my love toward God will be little. Then actually, a second point and very important point in our repentance is remorse, or what St. Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and he called it godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. Godly sorrow leads to or produce repentance, leads to salvation, not to be regretted. Godly sorrow produces repentance, leads to salvation, not to be regretted. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And this woman today is a very good example in the godly sorrow. She came and she was crying. She stood at his feet behind him weeping. That is the remorse, that's the godly sorrow. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. When we come to God, when we approach him with tearful eyes, with godly sorrow, with godly sorrow. Like Peter. Peter, after actually he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he wept bitterly. And this was a sign of his sorrow, his repentance. But there is the sorrow of the world. St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 spoke about the sorrow of the world that produced death. Like Judas. Judas was sorrowful too. And he tried to correct what he did. He tried to give them the money back. But this sorrow was not the godly sorrow. It was the sorrow of the world. That's why it ended with killing himself, produces death. Then actually, we need to have this remorse, the godly sorrow. The godly sorrow is the response of us toward the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit convict me, the response will be godly sorrow. But the sorrow of the world is a response to the conviction of the ego. That's why the sorrow of the world attacks the self-righteous, not the humble people. Let me elaborate more on this. When actually you come to confession and you are crying in tears, why are you crying? There are two types of tears here. One type, the tears of the self-righteous, when they are convicted by their ego and pride. The tears here is the tears of how come that I, a deacon or Sunday school servant or a priest or a clergyman, how I committed such a sin. So it is actually, I cannot imagine that me should commit such sin. That's why I'm in tears. Also, maybe I'm embarrassed. It is all about me, about my ego, my pride. But the tears of the humble is totally different. It's not about me. It is how I hurt the feeling of God, how I disobeyed God. Can you imagine, for example, if you sin against your parents, you curse them, then all what bothers you, that how you commit such sin, you should not. You are a righteous person. But the other person, all what bothers him, how he hurt the feeling of his parent, how he wounded them, how he repaid their love. So it's about them. In the fraction, we say, be sorrowful, O my soul, because for your sins that caused to your Redeemer all these sufferings. So the tears here is not about me. The tears is about Him, about God. How I caused all this suffering to God. It's not about me, a self-righteous person. Then actually, a third element in repentance, after taking responsibility and after developing godly sorrow, is trust in the forgiveness of God. The Lord said to this woman, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Which faith here? What kind of faith here God is talking about? He's not talking about her creed, her belief system. No. He's speaking about her confidence. She came to God, yes, acknowledging her sins, but also she was confident that God will forgive her. She is confident that God will wipe away all her sins. That's why she came and endured all this embarrassment from Simon the Pharisee, all this judgment. She came totally confident that God will accept her. He will not reject her. And we actually should approach God with this confidence. Not confidence in us. The self-righteous, they are confident in their own righteousness. But the humble people, they are confident in the love of God, that He will accept me a sinner, no matter what. Big difference between this confidence and that confidence. The Pharisee and the tax collector, the Pharisee was confident in his deeds. I fast today, I pay my tithe, I do this, I do that. But the tax collector was confident in the mercy of God. God have mercy upon me, a sinner. So we need to approach God with taking responsibility of our sins, confident in His mercy, not in our self-righteousness, and also with godly sorrow, remorse, because we committed such sins and we caused all this suffering to our Redeemer. Another important element is to correct the consequences of our sins. This means we are truly repentant. Zacchaeus said to God, half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I was unfair to anybody, I will restore him fourfold. This woman, how she expressed that she wanted to correct the consequences. She bought a very costly fragrant oil. And then actually she anointed his feet with this fragrant oil. Fragrant oil represent the aroma, as St. Paul said, you are the aroma of Christ. So through our good deed, through our works, the people will smell the aroma of Christ in us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. John the Baptist said to the people who came to him, bear fruit that befits repentance. So if you are truly repentant, repentance should have fruit. Bear fruits that befits your repentance. You cannot say, yes, I am repentant, but you didn't do anything to show that you are truly repentant. So From the Gospel of today, we have this example of this woman who came acknowledging and confessing her sins with godly sorrow, but she is confident not in her righteousness, but in the mercies of God. And she offered this fragrant oil as a symbol of good deeds and good works, as a sign, as the fruit of her true repentance. And we have the other example of a self-righteous person who actually fell in judgment. He judged the Lord. He judged this woman. He was confident in his righteousness. That's why one heard the beautiful words, "Your faith has saved you, go in peace," and the other did not hear the same words. The counsel of God toward you is to accept his forgiveness, is to accept his salvation. So today we need to approach God like this woman. Today also in the Synaxarium, we heard about the repentance of Nineveh. We need actually to approach God with a repentant heart, with godly sorrow, with confidence in his mercy, with good deeds, and acknowledging, take responsibility of our sins, so we may hear his beautiful voice toward us. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.